Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you, brethren. Thank you for tuning in to the Word of God through Jesus Christ Street and Outreach broadcast. It is a blessing to be back here this time of morning at 1:30 Eastern Standard Time. I tell you, this is going to be a very, very powerful lesson, and I pray that as you sit with me, that you allow the Lord to bless us to walk through this and to surely get fed and enlightened through the Word of God, the Holy Bible. I'd like to ask you to turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 9. That's where this lesson, this talk, this conversation is going to come from, Acts chapter 9. And while you're finding that, first let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, forgive us for our sins. Thank you for this time of gathering and fellowship. Please feed us, minister to us, talk to us, reveal some things to us that we didn't know before. Answer questions in Jesus' name. Raise some questions in Jesus' name. And we just thank you for this early morning time given unto you. Thank you that you kept someone in the house so that they can get fed straight from your word and your mouth in Jesus' name. And please make me usable and use me. Fill me with the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge. Give me a spiritual discernment, a spiritual understanding of your most precious and holy word. And I rebuke the devil and plead the blood against him. And bless the apostles that you have raised up, these mighty men of God. Bless them as they receive this word and get fed and begin to understand their gift better. In Jesus' name, we thank you and we pray. Amen. Again, Acts chapter 9. And while you're there, as is the custom, I'm going to read the description of the lesson. In Acts 9, Saul was going on his way to accomplish what was in his heart to do, persecute the body of Christ. He had gotten the proper papers that he needed to exercise authority against the believers and to arrest them. He led an all-out attack against the faith of Jesus Christ. All seemed well until the Lord, whom Saul was actually fighting against, had to literally knock Saul off of his horse and interrupt his so-called attack. The devil was upset because here was another one of his attempts to attack God's people coming to a complete failure. The Lord stopped this man, had a conversation with him, left him in a position that showed him how helpless that he really was, and then he changed him. And from that moment on, the Lord enlisted him as one of the elite in the fivefold ministry. Then his adventures began, and then he saw what persecution was really like for the sake of the gospel. Grab your Bibles and let's begin our journey of study concerning God's elite army of spiritual leaders and avengers, otherwise known as the fivefold ministry. I am led to warn you, though, this information will differ from your denomination and from your opinions of God's order, but the information has always been listed in the Holy Bible, God's best seller. This is part two in the teaching series of God's Avengers, the Adventures of the Fivefold Ministry, and this is the office of the apostle. Acts chapter 9 in the King James Version, starting at verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. Father, in Jesus' name, please minister to us and keep us before you. And you do the teaching and the talking. Make the lesson deep yet simple, and simple yet deep. In Jesus' name, please give me the strength to go on. In Jesus' name, I thank you and I pray. Amen. The thought God gave me for this lesson is called The Devil Hates You Because of the Anointing That Is On Your Life. He knows that God called and chose you. The title is, You Didn't Choose God. He chose you. Apart from him, you haven't a chance for victory. You have not one chance for victory apart from him. Whatever the Lord is using me to teach theology class or to be used as a vessel to cultivate the gift of those that are coming into their calling, or that are already there and just need some tweaking. The Lord leads me to use the bestseller on heaven's book list. And it's not sold. It is given by the Lord, and that's the Holy Bible. The Bible is full of information, instruction, direction about the fivefold ministry and everything else dealing with life here on earth. And it prepares us to go with the Lord. It is important that people study the word and gather all the information they can. And no matter how much a person reads the Bible, you can still never get every bit of information out of it and say that you don't need to study anymore. It's not true. Right now we're getting ready to study about the office of apostle. Now, again, some are not going to agree with it, but that's all right because scripture is going to confirm and back all of this up. Before we get into going further with that, let's deal with the meaning of the word apostle. It's from the Greek word apostolos, and what it means is a delegate, especially an ambassador of the gospel. Apostolos means it is officially a commissioner of Christ with miraculous powers. And the last definition in the Strong's dictionary for apostolos is he that is sent. It didn't say they, it said he that is sent. And while you're dealing with the definition, you got to remember that the word commissioner from the Webster's is a government official or representative in charge of a department or district. Commissioner also means administrator. It also means magistrate. And it also means agent. See, an apostle is a delegate. An apostle is chosen, but not elected. An apostle is not sent by man. this is one of the reasons why a lot of people don't ordain apostles, because they really can't. You can't ordain an apostle. You can only agree with the gift that God has on their life. It is God who calls and chooses the apostles in the same way that it is God that calls and chooses prophets and prophetesses. You can't appoint a prophet. You can't appoint a prophetess. You can't appoint an apostle. You just can't do it, because these are foundational giftings, the apostle and the prophet. Another thing about the apostle is the office of apostle is a dominant office. Therefore, it is not a gift. It is not an office that God would call a submissive vessel in. He wouldn't do that. Listen to that. The office of apostle is a dominant office, therefore not given to submissive vessels. That's deep. Catch that if you can. Apostles are teachers of the word of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11, scripture says this. This is Brother Paul writing this. He said, "Wherefore I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles." Now, even though apostles are sent out, they have different jurisdictions. For instance, Peter was an apostle sent to the Jews, and Paul was an apostle sent to the Gentiles. The Catholics teach that Peter was the chief apostle, but that is error. It's wrong. When it comes to the office of apostle, there's only one chief apostle, and that's Jesus Christ. And Hebrews 3 and 1 tells us that. And I asked you to write that down, Hebrews 3 and 1. And actually, I'll read it to you. Here's what it says. "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus." So Jesus is the only chief apostle there is, was, and ever will be. In the earth realm, there are no chief apostles. That's pride. And God is not behind it. He is not the author of it. Jesus Christ is the chief apostle, because there's four classes of apostles. There's the chief apostle, who is Jesus Christ. He's the only one in that. Then there's the apostles of the Lamb. Those were the disciples Jesus called. Then there's the New Testament apostles, which are Paul, Barnabas, Apollos, and a few other brethren, not Junia. Some people say that Junia, the woman, was an apostle. No, she wasn't. Scripture says that Junia was of note among the apostles, and in the Greek, of note means to be respected. She was respected by the apostles. Her walk was admired and acknowledged. She was acknowledged as a woman of God, as a Christian, as a strong Christian, and apparently she hung around the apostles, but she was not an apostle. So that's the third class. Let's try this again. Jesus Christ, the chief apostle, and that's the first class. Second class is the apostles of the Lamb. Those are the ones he chose. The third class are the New Testament apostles. And the fourth class are modern-day apostles, those of us that are alive and in the earth realm and sent out by God now. We are sent out to go and teach and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, apostles are teachers of the word, as we just saw Brother Paul write, and apostles are also preachers of the word. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7, scripture says, this is Brother Paul writing, "Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not. a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. So now, apostles are teachers and preachers of the word, or teachers or preachers. And that's just how it is, a true apostle. I'm not talking about those that call themselves apostles, that say they are apostles, but I'm talking about true apostles that the Lord calls. All right? A true apostle is first and foremost a preacher or a teacher, or a preacher and a teacher of the word. Okay? And apostles are not passive. I mean, they can be compassionate, but they are not passive, because they are sent to accomplish something. Turn to the book of Galatians and let's notice chapter 2. The book of Galatians, chapter 2, and we're going to quickly read verses 11-21. And there's a reason for this. 11-21. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Apostles are not passive. This brother rebuked Peter, because Peter was eating with the Gentiles, and when the Jews came in, the religious leaders, he got up and went and sat with them, because he didn't want to go through the ridicule. He didn't want anybody to say anything to him about who he was eating with. Apostles also are the only office that walks in all four of the other offices. The apostle will do the work of an evangelist. He will get people saved. He will do the work of the teacher. He will teach and establish people. He will do the work of the pastor. He will pastor and shepherd people for a while. The Lord will also use the apostle under the prophetic mantle. And now, this is real deep. You got to understand this. When God sent two apostles out, because they walk in all four of the other offices, God will use them too and throw them around, so to speak, in all four of the other offices. Like, he might use one apostle as a teacher, one as an evangelist, then he might switch the other apostle and start using them as a pastor, and then use the other apostle as a prophet. I mean, he can do that because he's God. That's how he does with the gifts, with the office of apostle. If you and see, the thing is, apostles are what we call half-breeds, meaning if you take the prophetic anointing, the evangelistic anointing, the pastoral anointing, and the teaching anointing, and you put it all in a bowl and mix it up, put it in the oven, out comes the apostle. An apostle also has an extraordinary relationship with God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1, notice what Brother Paul wrote. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? So he had an extraordinary relationship with God. He, an encounter. He saw Christ. Didn't he just say that? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? But here's what you got to catch. In Acts, again, Acts chapter 9, if you look at verse 3, it says, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man. So now when he said, Have I not seen the Lord Jesus? He didn't see Jesus with his natural eyes. He saw him in a spiritual vision. That's important to know, because one of the requirements for being an apostle, as it says in Acts, is that you had to have seen the Lord. You had to have seen him. And those of us that are apostles, no, we didn't see the Lord with our natural eyes, no. But in one way or another, the Lord revealed his glory unto us. He revealed his glory. He showed us him. I can share testimonies of how God ministered to me and trained me when he called me into this office 22 years ago. Even to this very day, those that know me will testify to this fact. When it rains outside, I don't carry an umbrella. I don't even own one, because when the Lord sent me out there in the field and to do some street ministry and it's raining, the Lord lead me to pray against the rain and the stops. And I'm grateful for that. It's not about me, but it's about the Lord. Which brings me to this point. First, let's notice that, again, apostles are not elected by people, but they're sent out. In Acts chapter 13, verse 1, Scripture says, Now there were in the church at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they have fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So Paul and Barnabas, they were apostles. In this scripture right here, in verse 1, where it taught the word that is referring to the apostles here are teachers. There were certain prophets and teachers that were in the ministry then. And the teachers were the apostles, Paul and Barnabas. They were sent out to go and do a work for the Lord. They were sent. Now, there's proofs of an apostle. You know, some people say, well, I'm an apostle because I set up a building or a church. Well, if that's what you say, then that proves right there to the trained eye and to another true apostle that you're not an apostle, because we know that the church is not a building. Number one, it's the body of Christ. That's the church. So apostles establish people in the faith. Let's notice something. 2 Corinthians 12 and 12 shows us the signs of an apostle. Truly, the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. What were the signs of the apostle? Signs, wonders, and mighty deeds. Now, notice 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. And this is discussing the fruit of an apostle. Verse 1, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. For the seal of my apostleship are ye in the Lord. So apostles, the fruit of an apostle are the people. Whenever you are in the presence of an apostle or walking with an apostle, be prepared to learn something because you will learn. And no man teaches the apostle what the Lord blessed him to know about the gospel. If you turn to the book of Galatians, I'm trying to turn there. If you turn to the book of Galatians, chapter 1, and you notice verse 11 and 12, scripture says this. This is Brother Paul wrote, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." See, the Lord revealed scripture to him. He revealed the truth of the gospel to him. That's what he does to us apostles. But there is a cost for that. Don't think there isn't. There is a cost. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, Brother Paul wrote these words, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." So what he was saying is to keep me humble so that I don't become prideful. A messenger, a minister from Satan was sent to buffet me. And the word buffet is from the Greek word kolophidzo, and it means to strike with the fist. Kolophidzo, to strike with the fist. That's what buffet me mean. Buffet there means that. So you find ministers that say, "Well, we don't know what the thorn was upon. It was a spiritual problem." I've heard some ministers say that it was a sexual problem he had. But no, kolophidzo means to strike with the fist. So a messenger of Satan was sent to put a thorn in his flesh. In other words, to beat his flesh, to do something to his flesh to keep him humble. And let's notice what the problem was. Y'all really need it. Galatians chapter 4, verse 15, Brother Paul said, "Where is then the blessedness ye speak of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me." Now, if you turn to Galatians chapter 6, verse 11, you'll read what Brother Paul wrote this. "You see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand?" Now, he's talking about writing big letters. Why? Because something was wrong with his eyes. Well, when did something become wrong with his eyes? In Acts chapter 9, once again, in verse 4. Verse 3, "And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And if you look at verse 9, verse 8, it said, "And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man." So he was blind. This heavenly light shined and came in contact with his natural eyes and blinded him. Some of you understand that whenever you have a spiritual encounter with God, there is a catastrophic result that takes a toll on your flesh. And this is what happened with Brother Paul. Because this heavenly light shined in his eyes and made him blind, after that, he had a problem with his eyes. That was a thorn in his flesh. He said because of the abundance of revelations and things that he was receiving, this is why this messenger was sent to him. So the point was God wanted him to know, you're not going to get the credit for how I use you. You're not going to have all this spiritual pulchritude and be physically fit too. No, you can't have all of that. Where's the struggle? Where would be the need for God? So this is what the Lord had allowed him to experience. Now, because the office of apostle is a very lonely walk, the Lord does bless us with a wife. He will bless us with a wife. 1 Corinthians, again, chapter 9, if you notice it, 1 Corinthians, and I'm turning there with you, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and look at verse 5. Brother Paul wrote these words. Let me go back to verse 1 again. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. But the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. Mine answer to them that do examine me is this. Have we not power to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? He was talking about Peter. Because if you remember, Peter the apostle was married. Because this office is so lonely, and because apostles, we are by ourselves, God doesn't want us falling into sin. He does. Listen, any man in the office of apostles that's going to be honest with you will tell you, before they found the Lord, they were womanizer. That usually is the case. They were womanizer. So when the Lord brought them, and the reason why is because the anointing on us to draw people into God's family is there. But before the Lord is able to get to us, and before he started working with that anointing on our life to draw for him, the devil tried to pervert our gift and make us draw for us. So that's why in the world, us apostles, the majority of us, were womanizers. And because we were womanizers, we drew women unto us. But then when the Lord brought us unto himself and cleaned us up and washed us, then he taught us how to be fishers of men, to draw men and women and children unto Christ. So God said, no, I don't want you alone because I don't want you to go backward. I don't want you to go back out there. So what he did, he will bless us with a wife. And our wife will be prophetesses. Why? Because the apostle and the prophet walked together. Remember Paul and Silas? Silas was a prophet. Paul was an apostle. Apostles and prophetesses, that's an evenly yoked marriage. Anything else is unevenly yoked. Because, see, a prophetess, she deals in the spirit realm like the apostle does. And she has a deep revelation from God like an apostle does. There's no such thing as an apostolic prophet like people are promoting these days. That's not biblical. The apostle is one office. The prophetess or the prophet is another. And so when you have both of them walking together, those are the foundational giftings. The apostle and the prophet are the foundational giftings. There's no other. Every ministry should have an apostle at the root of it. It don't matter if that ministry been around 200 years. 200 years ago, there should have been an apostle that started it. So that way it would have been started with all five of the gifts and started balanced. And if it stayed that way for the 200 years, it would be a mighty ministry right now. But when you have a ministry that a pastor starts, the ministry is lopsided. Or a ministry that a prophet starts, it still is lopsided. Or a ministry that an evangelist starts, it's still lopsided. And the apostle doesn't have to physically start the ministry, but the leader over that ministry should have, in their lifetime, in their raising up from God, come in contact with an apostle. Why? Because apostles establish the people. They establish them. And when the people are established in the faith, the apostle moves on and goes establishing in other areas. They are a delegate. They are an ambassador. Brother apostle, listen to this carefully. You are an ambassador of the gospel, which means when God sends you out, that's why he tells you don't take nothing. Because when he sends you out, he's responsible to take care of you. He's responsible to provide for you. He said that a workman is worthy of his hire. So he will take care of you when he sends you out. Now that's a brief lesson on the office of apostle, and I pray that it's been a blessing to you. We don't have time to go all the way into it, and those in the theology class on one of the upper levels, they're going to be studying about the ministry gifts and the harmony of the gifts. So if you want to enroll in the theology class, if it's in your spiritual, I'll say it that way, and if God has called you into ministry, you stay sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost, reach me through Facebook, my inbox, and we'll discuss it and see about getting you enrolled in the theology class so that you can get your license for ministry that God has called you to, because most of you need to get off the bench. You don't need to be sitting on the bench. I know pastor said sit on the bench, but if you're an apostle, pastors don't instruct apostles anyway. Pastors do not even instruct prophets and prophetesses. They can't do it. It's not biblical. You don't see where Timothy wrote a letter to Paul. Timothy was a pastor. Paul was an apostle. You don't see what Timothy wrote an epistle to Paul. No, Paul wrote to Timothy. That's what you see. Paul wrote to Titus. He was another pastor. That's what you see. Okay? Father, in Jesus' name, forgive us for our sins. Thank you for this time of fellowship and gathering. Thank you for this word. Thank you for this lesson. And I ask, Lord, that you bless those that have heard and received under your anointing, that have seen it in Scripture, that you have revealed the truth to. I thank you for them. And thank you for this opportunity of fellowship with them. Those that reject the word, those that talk against it, go against it, and everything else, that's between you and them. I'm not going to take back nothing you led me to share and show in the word. Not at all. But I ask that you handle that, because this is your gospel, and these are your people. The saved ones are your people. So I thank you for everything. And let us have a blessed night and prepare us for the next lesson on the office of the prophet and the prophetess. Thank you, Lord, for hearing us and for answering us. We love you in Jesus' name. We pray, amen. You can call the ministry at 203-745-8162 for prayer. Just look on the description of this lesson on my Facebook wall, and you can call the ministry 24 hours. It doesn't matter what time it is, and we'll go in prayer, okay? Whatever you need prayer for, the Lord will use me to pray with you. We're going to get a breakthrough, sure enough. 203-745-8162. Also, on my wall, you'll see the link on how you can sow into the ministry and let God use you to be a blessing to the ministry as he uses us to be a blessing to his children that are crying out and in need of help, of relief. Don't close your hand. Open it. And you know the Lord will bless you. You already know that. God bless you. And again, thank you for tuning in with me. And see you tomorrow night. I love you in Jesus' name. Amen.